the last few weeks, well, a couple of months now, I've been taking a series of studies from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 13, and it's been on the subject of love, and the title of it has been Love, the Most Excellent Way. And tonight I just want to bring that teaching series to a conclusion, but you can't really exhaust the subject of the love. You know, it's the greatest of the virtues. You know, chapter, verse 31 tells us that, you know, now abide faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. You know, it's the greatest of the virtues, so we can't really bring it to an end, but I heard somebody once say this, we could put a pause on it. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to just bring this subject of love, the most excellent way, to a pause. But I want to read, perhaps take the time tonight to read the chapter and what we've been looking at. Starting to read in chapter 12, verse 31. And then through to chapter 14, verse 1. It's not a long reading. It's just 15 verses. And chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 says this: "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." And then the first verse of the next chapter says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." You know, we spend the time over these last, this is now the seventh week, we've been looking at this subject of love, and it's been broken up. We've stopped for a few weeks and then picked it up again. But what we've seen over these last seven lessons on love is that there's nothing more important in the life of a Christian than living and developing and growing in the love of God. You know, we particularly focused on it last week where we looked at verse 11 here in this chapter. It says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." That talks about growing up. You know, when we were children, we did things that children do, but when we became adults, we no longer do those childish things, because we hopefully have matured and have grown. And that's how we need to be in love as well. You know, there's lots of things perhaps we did when we first began as a Christian, which as God's love has filled us and we've moved and we've lived in that way, that we don't do those things anymore. We've grown out of them. We put away the childish things. You know, love is, as we've been saying all the way through, the most excellent way. And we're to nurture love, we're to keep it, we're to grow up and develop in it. In fact, everything in our life needs to function by love. Because without it, or without love, nothing in our life will work properly. And that's where we're just going to wrap up this session tonight on looking at, without love, nothing works. Or the subtitle on this thing is, The Most Excellent Way. Verse 13, I've quoted it already tonight. It says, now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. You know, love stands out far above anything else. Far above faith. Now, we can't be saved without faith, because the scripture says we're saved through grace by faith. Well, by faith through grace, actually it says. You know, we're saved by faith. Everything in the life of a Christian needs to be by faith. If it's not a faith, and we will get onto this in a minute. If it's not a faith, the scripture says it's sin. So we either operate in faith or we operate in sin, according to the scripture. You know, it says here in this verse that you have faith and you have hope. But love is the greatest of the three. Without love, none of these things work. Everything's connected to love. Until love is cultivated, nothing else in our life will function and work to its fullest potential. You know, we have the things here in this chapter that shows us that. In verse 8, it says, love never fails. You know, things fail when we don't walk in love. One of the things that fails is our hearts fail. Not physically, but scripture says that men's hearts fail them for fear. Another scripture tells us that love casts out all fear. You know, so our whole world fades out and becomes obsolete. It fails us when we don't walk in love. Romans teaches us, and again, these are all scriptures that we've already covered in the process of the studies over the last 7 weeks. Romans shows us, Romans 8 shows us that love conquers all. When we don't have love, we're soon defeated. You know, what does it, let me just read those closing verses of Romans 8. You don't have to turn them up, but it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then he says, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, he's writing there, and he's talking about tribulation. You know, perhaps we don't really fully appreciate these words. But there's some people across the world that are suffering tribulation, persecution, because of their stand for God, because of what they believe. And he says, can tribulation, distress, persecution, what about famine, nakedness, peril, or even the sword. You know, the threat of a life. Can these things separate us from the love of God? No, he says. He says, but in all these things, we're more than conquerors. You know, love conquers all. It doesn't fail. But when you don't have love, all these things can get on top of you. You suffer the tribulation and it can get you down. Persecution, you can be driven mad. You know, there's always that, always sort of feeling like you're defeated if you don't walk in love. Verse 5 in our reading says, love is not provoked. You know, love is not easily provoked. So we're not easily provoked when we walk by love. But if we don't walk by love, we lose our tempers very quickly. You know, we fly off the handle, we get go off into a rage, and that's not a manifestation of love. You know, to see these parts of our life don't work properly without love. We need love to function properly. Verse 3, I'm working backwards, you might realise, I'm working back through the chapter, because I want to finish with the beginning. Verse 3 says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. But we can do the greatest charitable deeds. We can give great offerings. You know, we can, there was this, I'm sure you've seen it, this couple on the telly that have won these millions. They were discussing it on the radio today. Somebody's saying, oh, they should give it bits to charity. And you know, you can give great chunks of money to charity, but if you haven't got love, it's going to profit you nothing. Now, the Bible says that giving is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You know, it's a blessing to give. But if you don't do it in love, you're wasting your time. So we can sow the biggest financial seeds into God's kingdom. We can do the greatest charitable deeds. We can do lots of good works. Run around the community, helping people, doing good things. But without love, they don't profit us one thing. God is looking at our motives. He's not looking at what we do. It's not what we do that impresses God. It's what's coming out of our hearts. It's the motive. It's what love is in there. That's what's going to get God's attention. This, it says in verses 1 and 2, it says this, I can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love. I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You know, we can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. We can have them flowing in every service, speaking in tongues and prophesying, making long prayer. But without love, they're just empty words. You know, we can pray the longest prayers there are, and really impress all the people in the church. And I used to be quite impressed, really, with the prayers. You listen to some of the older guys, the older men in the church, they used to stand up and they could pray long prayers, beautiful prayers, and they know all the right words. And there's nothing wrong with that type of prayer, that type of praying. But if it's coming, if people haven't got love, then they might as well just sit down and be quiet. Because really the prayer, yeah, in his mercy, God hears the prayers. You know, but they're just filling the air with a lot of words. It's the same in our preaching and all our other ministry. You know, we can do lots and lots for God, but if it's not coming out of a heart that's motivated and moved by love, you know, a lot of it is just waste of time. Verse 2 talks about our faith. It says that I can have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but if I have not love, I'm nothing. We can have faith that moves the mightiest mountain. Or we can get great revelations from God, visions. But we're nothing without love. We could be the most spiritual person there is, but if we don't have love, what does it profit us one day? You know, that's really what the whole series of studies has been about. You know, love is the most excellent way of living. Now, faith, because we touched on mountain moving faith. Faith works by love. That's what the scripture says in Galatians 5:6. Now, faith works by love. You know, everything in the kingdom of God operates by faith. You know, I mentioned this just a few minutes ago. Everything functions by faith, operates by faith. And whatever is not of faith, Romans tells us, is sin. That's in Romans 14, verse 23. If it's not faith, it's sin. So everything in the kingdom of God operates by faith. It's got to be of faith. You know, it's by faith that we believe on Jesus. Amen. It's faith that we pray our prayers in. We have to pray in faith, believing, otherwise we're no point asking God to answer the prayers that we're praying. You know, when we do our giving, our bringing our offerings, we do it in faith. You know, faith operates. Everything in the kingdom of God operates by faith. When we minister by faith. You know, faith without love will not produce the desired results. Love is like a battery, or like the battery, really, that gets our faith to work. You know, you need a battery in the car to turn the engine over. You know, it doesn't matter how big and how lovely your battery looks, if it's flat, you're never going to get the car started. You know, love is like that. It's like a battery for our souls, our spirits. You know, it gets everything working. Gets everything functioning. Faith is expressed by and it works through love. That's what that scripture says in Galatians 5. You know, faith, the way we express our faith, the way we use our faith, it is by love. Love works our faith. If you think of it like this, the Word of God, this Bible, perhaps not so much the Bible itself, but the words that are contained in it. The Word of God is the carrier of faith. That's what the scripture says in Romans 10. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we hear God's Word preached, or read, or proclaimed, or sung, faith comes. So God's Word brings faith to us. And just like that, God's love carries the anointing and the power. You know, faith without love will not produce the desired results. You know, we can pray all day, but if we're not working in love, you know, our faith won't function. We might think we're in faith, we might think we're believing, but, you know, love, we just need that love to energize our faith, if that's the right way of putting it. You know, we better turn up Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. You'll see in Galatians 5. If we look at verse 6 to start with, that's where I've been preaching from. Galatians 5:6 says this, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. Now, if you go down towards the end of the chapter, chapter 5, Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Now here it gives us a list of 9 fruit of the Spirit. And we touched on it last week. It says there in verse 18, it says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. These are the things that we need to grow out of. That's what we were looking at last week. They're adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we've got to grow out of those things, because it says, in the next verse it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's the first one in that list. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. And it says in verse 23 that against these fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, against those nine fruit, there is no law. You know, when you walk in the love of God, the law of sin and death cannot overpower you. There's no law against the fruit of the Spirit. And let's just remind ourselves what they are. The first one is love. Then it's joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, when you operate all those, when you walk in love, you know, there's no law against love. Well, love is the greatest. Then there's joy. You know, when you walk in joy, we've touched on this over the last few weeks. When we looked at the other Sunday night, on the force of joy, you know, when you joyful, you know, the enemy can't get in and stir things up. You know, there's no law against joy. Peace, there's no law against that. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, there's no law against them. Gentleness, self-control. We've got to learn to walk in the love of God. Because everything works with love. And nothing works without it. Fear has no power over you when you're walking in love and you're truly perfected in love. 1 John 4:18 tells us that. You know, perfect love casts out all fear. We've got to take what God's word says and believe what God's word. When God says that perfect love casts out all fear, then there can be no fear when we're walking in love. If things aren't working in our life, you know, I've got a problem at the moment with my car, and it's come on over the last 2 weeks. Now I've taken it to the garage, and they've diagnosed what the problem is, but if something's not right, well, in the car it's easy to, because you know it's got a little light that comes up on the dashboard and it sort of flashes at you and tells you that there's a problem here. And that's how we first got to find out there's a problem. I took it in and they're going to have to repair it and do it. But that's another testimony for another time. You know when there's something wrong with the car. You know it. If you haven't got the lights, you know when you're driving it, it doesn't feel quite right. You might have it doesn't feel quite right driving, so you think, well, maybe there's a flat tire or a puncture or something, because the car isn't driving, or you know, the brakes don't feel right, and you think, well, there's a problem there. I need to get them. You know when there's a problem on things like your car or any other thing that you've got. And if you see there's a problem in your life, the first thing we need to check is, what's our love level? How are we operating? Are we walking in love as we are intended, or we are meant to walk? If we're constantly living in fear of something, then obviously love is in need of some work in our life. We need to develop and grow and nurture that love, because perfect love casts out all fear. If we're failing and we're finding ourselves tripping up, it's obviously a problem somewhere. There's no problem with God. You know, God hasn't got the problem. But obviously something wrong with us, and we need to check. And probably 9 times out of 10, it's probably going to be love that is the problem. And we say, well, I walk in love, I live in love, but do we really? Are we really that full of love? The only person that ever operated love like that was Jesus. And it showed God's great love for us and towards us. So there's probably a love problem somewhere in our lives. And we need to put it right. You know, we just do that by going to the Lord and allowing God to minister to us. You know, love is the most excellent way. There's no better way of living. There's no greater way of living than living a life of love. You know, in our reading in 1 Corinthians 13, it says this: now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. You know, the greatest of the three virtues, that's what they're called, the three virtues, is love. It's the most excellent way. Now Paul writes, and he goes on, he says that in the next verse, he writes that we should actively seek and pursue love. That's his very next words at the start of chapter 14. He says, pursue love. In other words, chase after it, seek after it. One of the other translations, the Amplified, puts it like this: eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. And that's what we should be striving for, every one of us. To live this most excellent way, that we pursue love, you know, we seek after it, we chase it down until we got it. We should strive to live this most excellent way. Whenever you hear a message like this on walking and living in the love of God or on anything else, if you hear what God says, we're not just talking about love now, I'm talking about on any subject, whenever we hear God speak or God speaks to us, you know, something that either is preached or perhaps something is sung or we read, and there's something quickens inside us, oh yes, you know, God's speaking to me there. Well, if we hear a message like that, or God ministers to us, if we don't do what God's telling us to do, then it's disobedience. And not just disobedience, but it's also an issue of unbelief. Because really what we're saying, we don't do what God tells us, we're saying, well, God, I don't believe what you're saying. That's the bottom line of it. It's an issue of unbelief and it's an issue of disobedience. Because your obedience and my obedience to the Word of God is proof of our love, proof of our belief, proof of our faith in what he's saying. See, when we know what to do and we put off doing it, we're operating in disobedience. And the same is true when we only choose to do part of what God says. If God tells us to do something and we only go and say, well, I've done half of it. No, if we've done half of what God's told us, we've been disobedient. We've got to do what God says and follow it right the way through. Partial obedience is a disobedience, and delayed obedience is disobedience. So if we only do part of what God says, we're disobeying it. If we put it off to when God tells us, he wants us to do it now. Whenever God ministers to us, it's always for now. He never tells us to do something and I'm telling you now, but I want you to do it next month. Unless he specifically says that. Whenever God tells us to do something, it's because he wants us to do it right now, as soon as he tells us. Or at the next available opportunity, it might be that he wants us to share something. You know, he might drop something in our heart to share. But obviously, if we don't have a service on that night, then we have to wait till the next. But he wants us to do it as soon as we can, you know, immediately. The very next opportunity. But he would say, well, I'll leave it for a few weeks and until there's a few more people in the church. No, that's not what God wants you to do now. That's what we've got to learn. Obedience is meant to be done as soon as God tells us. If we only do half of it or we delay it, then we're disobedient. And as we've seen as well in our studies on Sundays, obedience is the preface to God's blessing. You know those, what's it say in Deuteronomy 28? It talks about the blessings coming upon you if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and observe to do, if you're obedient to do what God tells you, then all these blessings are going to... You've got to be obedient to be blessed. Not the other way around. You don't get blessed first and then you say, well, then I can be obedient, then I'll follow. God called Abraham to leave his home, leave his land, leave his father, leave his mother. It says, and God says, I'll show you where you're going. And he had to be obedient to God. And then God says, well, now you've been obedient, now is the blessing going to come upon you. I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make your name great. You know, but that's another sermon. Obedience is proof of our belief, proof of our faith in God. If we love him, Jesus says, we keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments, we stay in his love. Because love is the most excellent way. Pursue love. You know, this chapter that we've been looking at, you know, I said this way back week one or whenever it was. Paul was addressing some issues in the church, some problems in the church, in the Corinthian church. And if you read through the first book of Corinthians, you'll see he's almost from chapter one, he's dealing with problems that the church were facing. People were saying in the church that, you know, they were better Christians than others because they came to Paul, they came to God through Paul's preaching. Or another one came because Peter preached. Another one said, well, I came in because Jesus himself. You know, I was around when Jesus preached on the mountain. And they say, well, we're better than you because we came in because of Jesus, or we came in because of Peter. And Paul says, look, he says, don't be children. You know, that's childish ways. He said, look, he says, who's Peter, who's Paul? They're just instruments through which God has chosen to reach you. You know, God is the one that should be honoured and praised. And then he goes on in other things that go on in the church there. And then he gets into chapter 11. And then he's dealing with problems around the communion table. You know, how people were behaving and acting, and they weren't coming together to remember God as they should have done. And he says, look, he says, this is how you should come. This is what God has given me, and I'm going to give it to you. And we read these words quite frequently from 1 Corinthians 11. And he goes through there where it says Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to Tom to eat this in remembrance. And then he says that if we eat this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, we're guilty of the body and blood, and we're told to examine ourselves. You know, that's a problem in the church. Then into chapter 12, we see he's talking about there's the gifts of the Spirit. There were people in the church that were doing all sorts of things. And he says, look, he says, this is what God's given to the church. These are the gifts that God has given. You know, and he talks about family in that chapter as well. He says, look, when one member suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. You know, we all need each other. And that's really the essence of chapter 12, talking about the spiritual gifts, and no one's better than anybody else because I speak in tongues. Well, somebody says, well, so what? I prophesy. I have visions and dreams. And Paul said, look, he says, you're acting like children. He says, it comes from the same God, the same Spirit. God gives these to whoever he wills so that the body can be built up. It's not so we can wear a badge and say, we do this, we... And these are the problems he's addressing all the way through the book. And then he comes to chapter 13. He's addressed all these problems. And he says, Look, it's right that you desire the best gifts, but he says, I'm showing you the best way to live. It's not in all this carnality. It's not in all this, well, I'm better than you because. He says, this is the way to be. It's love. Chapter 30. And then chapter 40, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And then he says, especially that you may prophesy. If we love him, we keep his commandments. We do what he tells us to do. Because love is the most excellent way. It doesn't matter what else we do in church. If we live in love, we won't go wrong. We'll be operating by love. You know, we'll know the leading of God. We'll know when to give a message in tongues, when to prophesy. You know, God will be leading us. We'll know how we should be acting and conducting ourselves around the Lord's table. We'll know to do with our giving. You know, Paul tackled that in his next letter to the Corinthians, talking about giving, you know, how we need to give and support the ministry. Everything will function right, because without love, nothing works. But with it, everything works as God intended it. That's why it's the most excellent way. So we've gone through the chapter, and that's where we will leave it. We've seen, just to quickly give you the rundown, we've seen that love is the preeminent force. It is the number one thing with God. We've seen the commandment to love one another. We've seen the nature of love, what love is. We've seen that love never fails. It doesn't go wrong. We've seen about how we should develop and grow in love. How we should put away those childish things. You know, and there's a few other things that we've looked at as well, but as we've traced through this chapter over the last 7 weeks, I trust that the Lord has ministered something to you, because he certainly has to me. I enjoy it, preparing these studies, because I always get something out of them. God always speaks to me first before I bring them on a Tuesday night. But I trust that you've received something on love over these last few weeks. You know, love is the most excellent way. It's the best way. It's the way God intends us to live. Because he is love. That's what the scripture says. God is love. And when we walk in love, we're walking in him, walking in God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.